May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Going to begin today's reflection with a video of a very precious moment.
Okay, we're just going to show it to you, so watch this. Watch the expression on this baby's face. His name is Leo, he's 4 months, and this smile, and here's why it means so much to his mom and dad. Before that moment, Leo, who has a rare disorder affecting his vision, had never had a good, clear look at the world.
Most of what he's been able to see up until getting the glasses was extremely fuzzy or completely out of focus.
Yep, everything, even up close things, like his dad's beard.
He'd look at him or get close to his face and instantly put his hands towards his cheeks, maybe identify his dad or his mom.
So the glasses were there to fix that. And the video, it shows the moment he first puts them on and first looks straight into his mother's face. And there's that hesitation, and then there it is. Obviously, Leo likes what he sees.
That smile was something that was so different. Yeah, it was just remarkable.
Yes, it was remarkable. So here's one last look at this first look. John Donovan, ABC News, Washington.
That joy of seeing his mother face to face, something that will stick with me, I know, for a long time. Let's remember that joy as we look at today's passages. Our first reading was taken from the end of Revelation, some of chapter 21 and chapter 22. And there we have the veil, if you like, just drawn back slightly, just so you can get a glimpse of what is to come, a glimpse of our destiny. If we go a verse before the lectionary passage, it says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And then the lectionary passage picks up with what comes next. "And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." And so there's this image of this heavenly, holy city of Jerusalem being the bride, the wife of the Lamb, and coming down out of heaven from God. We had two weddings at St. Paul's yesterday, one here and one over at the chapel, and I was officiating at the chapel one. And always in a wedding, there's that moment when the bride comes down the aisle, and all eyes are looking at her, and I always like at that time to kind of keep just a little bit of the side vision on the groom, because the groom always has this wonderful expression where they are just so struck by the beauty of their bride. And that's the image that we have here in Revelation. Verses 11 through 21 of chapter 21 describe the awesomeness of what it's like. And John mentions jewels. In fact, there are a number of jewels he mentions that we don't even know what they are. Gold, gigantic proportions, as the city is truly immense. And all these things that he's saying, you get the sense that he is pushing the limits of language as far as he can, trying to describe the indescribable. One thing we should note is that it is a city, that when we think of heaven, we need to think not only of communion with God, but also communion with one another. Well, the lectionary picks up again in verse 22. It says, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." And then words which are so precious and words which remind me of that little child looking at the face of his mother. It says, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face." In our service yesterday, we had the chapter on love, as it's often called, in 1 Corinthians 13. And there in verse 12 of that chapter, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." There's that precious part of the wedding service where the bride and groom look into one another's faces as they exchange the vows. And as they're saying these things, what they're saying is that they're holding nothing back, that they want to get to know one another completely. They want that intimacy to be there and there to be no barriers between them. And of course, at this point, they don't know much at all about what life will have in store for them. But they do know that they will go through it together. In his book, Christian Theology in Plain Language, the New Testament scholar A.M. Hunter relates the story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place to which he was going. The doctor fumbled for a reply and then heard a scratching at the door, and he had his answer. "Do you hear that?" he asked his patient. So, of course, this was when, and back in the day when you did house calls. "Do you hear that? It's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he has grown impatient and has come up and hears my voice. He has no notion what's inside this door, but he knows that I am here. Isn't it the same with you? You don't know what lies beyond the door, but you know that your master is there." Richard Baxter expresses the thought in these lines: "My knowledge of that life is small, the eye of faith is dim, but it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." So we have that wonderful promise. And in our gospel passage today, we're reminded that this intimacy, which finds its culmination in eternity, this intimacy begins now in our earthly journey. Eternal life starts now and never ends. It speaks of an environment of love, stating that in that environment, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be there, not only with us, but within us, always. "We will come to them," Jesus says, "and make our home with them." Greek word mone, it's the same word that he uses in chapter 14, where he tells his disciples that in his Father's house are many dwelling places, and that's the word, and then that he goes to prepare a place for us. D.A. Carson, commenting on our passage today, says, "Thus, while Jesus leaves his disciples in order to prepare in his Father's house dwelling places for his followers, he simultaneously joins with the Father and the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, in making a dwelling place in the believer. God is at home in us." And God is at home, not just renting, but planning to stay. Our daughter has a beautiful house in Red Deer, but she's renting it, and we know that it's not hers, and she won't be there permanently. Well, Jesus has purchased us with his blood. We belong to God, and God belongs to us. Remember, in Revelation, where it talks about God's name is on our foreheads, we belong to God. And God belongs to us and plans to stay forever. That moves us to praise, to pour our hearts out, to God. And I think it's not insignificant that the different glimpses of heaven that we are given are always overflowing praise. In fact, it's overflowing in praise and in songs of praise. And so I'd like to end the reflection today by joining in that chorus of praise ourselves as we listen to Robin Mark. And he is going to be singing a song called Be Unto Your Name. And as we listen to that song, I invite us to join in the praise either out loud or in silence in our hearts. Amen.